In retrospect, holding the exorcism at the church fundraiser was perhaps not the best of ideas. But the thinking was, at the time, that this fish fry had been scheduled for quite a while now. It had been advertised and promoted, and people were real excited about it. It's not like Miss Thelma could be able to drive down and cook for them just any old time, right? No, sir. This fish fry needed to go on as planned. The church would pull down more in 6 hours than in a whole month's worth of donations and tithes, and at this juncture, they sorely needed those funds. The exorcism, on the other hand, had sort of fallen into their laps at the last possible minute. This boy, who was not one of their congregants, was no doubt possessed by a demon. On this, everyone agreed. They also agreed that it was their holy charge as a church of the people to step up to the plate for this poor kid and get that foul demon out of his soul. To put this off any longer than absolutely necessary was not just being derelict in their holy duties, it was downright immoral. After all, it's not like those pansies at the Friends Church were going to take action. And so it was decided, some hours beforehand, to combine the two events and try and make it into something special. Because this church needed something special. Once upon a time, they'd been affiliated with the Southern Baptists. And being affiliated with the Southern Baptists means that you got a little taste of that sweet Southern Baptist coalition money. But those days were long gone. This firebrand of a new preacher, freshly returned from the horrors of Vietnam, had taken them down a new path. And he was alienating people. After all, speaking in tongues, well, maybe that's not for everyone. Nor the hellfire and brimstone sermons he started giving on the AM radio. Not for everyone. But when it came to the handling of poisonous snakes, well, sir, that's where a lot of folks drew a hard line. You go to church to cleanse your soul, to unburden yourself of sins, to try and share a meaningful moment with the Lord. You don't go to get snake bit. And so attendance was down, way down, and still dropping. Donations were even worse. So it was of the utmost importance that the fish fry and the exorcism both went off without a hitch for a lot of different reasons. Well, they didn't. At all. And although I am well aware that hindsight is 20/20, it's hard to imagine that any fish fry or any exorcism could possibly go any worse. The following story takes place on July 23rd of 1969 at the demonic exorcism and all-you-can-eat fish fry hosted by the good Reverend Elmo Cubbins. I call this one, They Shall Take Up Serpents.
Drinking whiskey in the kitchen and telling scary stories around the fire. Music, monsters and mayhem, killers, cannibals and cults, fearful fiction and furious fact, tall tales and terrible truths. This is a Scary Home Companion.
Now, the book of Acts tells us, when Paul laid his bundle of sticks on the fire, there came a viper, which fastened itself upon his hand. The barbarians saw this venomous beast by him and said to themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer for whom vengeance suffers not to live. But Paul, he shook the beast into the fire and felt no harm, and the barbarians looked on him as a god. The barbarians, the foreigners, bring their profane religions here to our shores. Voodoo, hoodoo, Satanism, Hinduism, Judaism. We are washed in the blood of the Lord, our Savior. And he who forgives our sins, he who delivers us from false prophets, he who protects us from the fangs of the serpent, and provides us the antidote for the venom of the world, oh, we shall not perish, oh no. We shall have that everlasting life, oh yes.
The sandwich board set out by the old gravel road said Satanic Exorcism in big bold letters. And then right under it in letters equally big and bold, it said, All You Can Eat Catfish, 50 cents. And then in much smaller print at the very bottom was the name of the church. The sign was drawing a whole lot more attention than Reverend Cubbins had anticipated. Although at the moment, he wasn't sure if that attention was for the exorcism or the catfish. After all, Miss Thelma had a bit of a following herself locally, and for very good reason. She was an excellent cook. It may seem a bit incongruous that Miss Thelma, an African-American woman, was the one doing the cooking for this particular church's fundraiser fish fry. The thing is, this is weird, but for a church full of Southern snake handlers in 1969 Kentucky, they were surprisingly cool, racially speaking. Miss Thelma had been a good friend of the church and Reverend Cubbins for quite a while now. The only reason that she, nor any other member of the local black community, didn't attend church services there was because, well, none of them were goddamn stupid enough to handle snakes on purpose. Reverend Elmo Cubbins smoked a cigarette behind the church, calmed his nerves, and watched people fill up the parking lot. There was actually a line forming at the friar tent, where a half dozen of his congregants were working hard under the supervision of Miss Thelma. The Reverend was very much hoping that all of the hungry folks would be well fed and then stay for the exorcism. He wanted them to witness him casting this foul spirit out of the young man with the laying on of hands and the reading of scripture and the making of joyful noise. This was just the sort of thing that could turn people around about this church. It could prove to them, it could prove to everyone, that what they were doing here was righteous. Cubbins crossed himself, stepped back inside the church, which felt easily 10 degrees colder than it was when he left. The young man, the possessed boy in question, was strapped down to the altar at the front of the sanctuary. They'd cleared off all the candles and assorted religious hoo-ha and replaced them with thick leather straps. The young man's name was Cecil, and he couldn't have been more than 16, 17 tops. He was a member of a group of itinerant workers living on the edge of the swamp nearby, and apparently Cecil had ventured too deep and come back the following day spewing nonsense about a talking snake that lived under the earth. One whose voice was hissing inside his head and telling him what to do. By the next day, Cecil was hissing himself and talking in a language that no one could identify. Even though the itinerants were not church-going folk, they brought the boy to Elmo Cubbins, because this problem, they knew, was either a result of demons or snakes. Either way, this church was the place to be. Cecil, bound, hissed up at the Reverend, who started to gather his things and prepare for what was to come. Outside, the fish fry was already proving to be an enormous success. At this rate, they were going to run out of fish and hush puppies before noon. The deep fryers were set up on tables around three sides of a canvas tent, sort of what you would see at a fairgrounds. Miss Thelma stood in the back of the tent, gently but firmly giving orders to all the church helpers. This was their fundraiser, after all, which Thelma was doing as a favor to the Reverend. She wasn't even taking a cut. So these people, they could do all the work themselves. She was just supervising. There were other volunteers that worked the tables outside, collecting trash and offering up free lemonade and coffee refills. In the gently sloping courtyard of the church, they had set up 10 or 12 folding tables surrounded with folding chairs. All of these were full past capacity. So other people had taken to laying out blankets on the back lawn, and some people just sat on the grass. Although the lawn of this church was very neat and well kept, that gentle slope led right down to the edge of Boomer Creek. On the other side of this creek was the swamp. And this swamp was the sort of deep, dark, damp marsh that always seemed to be looking back at you. The view might not have been great, but the food surely was. People were going back for seconds and for thirds. It was all you can eat, after all. And just as predicted, they were almost entirely out of fish and hush puppies before it was half past 11, which was right when the Reverend Elmo Cubbins announced that the exorcism was about to start. Miss Thelma dismissed the volunteers to go watch it. They were interested. And she dropped the last batch of fish herself. There were still a few people outside the tent at this point. The Reverend's announcement really showed who had come for what, and a little less of the quarter of the attendees there drifted inside to watch the spectacle. A few minutes passed. Thelma had just served her last piece of catfish to the last person in line. She was going around turning off the fryers when she heard panicked screaming from inside the church. And that is when all hell broke loose.
Brother Mark, the truest of God's disciples, says, "To those that believe in my name, ye shall cast out devils, and in my name ye shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Now, Brother Luke, the most eloquent of God's disciples, says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You see this, brothers and sisters, this snake I hold, one bite it could strike any other man down, but it will not bite me. And if it did bite me, I would not fall. I would not lower my head, because my blood is pure. My eyes are clear. My heart pumps pure venom by the behest of my Lord, your Lord, our Lord.
Pews were absolutely packed, at least compared to the normal services as of late, and Reverend Elmo Cubbins was deeply thankful to see so many new faces and curious onlookers watching with such rapt attention. He alone stood over the possessed boy, who was now hissing and shouting his nonsense words. A thick, gooey drool ran down his emaciated cheeks and pooled on the altar under his bound head. The Reverend held a Bible in one hand, and in the other a wooden cross with a cotton mouth draped around it. He implored the beast hiding within the boy's soul to come out. He commanded the unholy snake to reveal itself. He challenged the demon to a fight. The faithful congregants among them took to their feet and began to sing a warbling hymn. The newcomers were more unsure. Few stood and even fewer sung. Cubbins tried to lead them. He tried to inspire them to get them to raise their voices collectively, that they might shout down the devil. The possessed boy began to tremble and shake. He started struggling, jerking around hard enough to rock the altar back and forth. Spittle frothed and dripped. The crowd gasped collectively when they saw what was happening. Something had started moving under the boy's skin, wriggling, writhing, just under the surface, like a pound of night crawlers in a wet paper sack. Everyone could clearly see the snakes moving inside of him, filling him up. Some people started to edge towards the door. Others pressed forward to get a better look. The Reverend raised his voice. "I command you to leave this vessel." Cubbins was dripping with sweat now. He could deliver a full sermon with a fistful of rattlesnakes, but this was something else. He kept raising his voice, raising his cross, raising his snake, but none of it seemed to help. The boy kept struggling, thrashing, and the snakes under his skin began to frenzy, coiling and wrapping up into knots. The pressure inside of his body built, pushing sluggish squirts of blood from his ears and making his eyes bug out in their sockets. "Release this boy," the Reverend screamed. "Show yourself." He pressed the cross against the boy's face. And then the boy stopped moving, stone still. He let out one last rasping breath, which sounded like a hiss. And then he projectile vomited a living geyser of snakes. Copperheads, cottonmouths, rattlers, all fully grown, caked in blood, spewed 15 feet up into the air and rained down on the now panicking congregation. Some of them tried to flee. Most of them never had the chance. The snakes came down on them by the dozen, all needle fangs and thrashing tails, plunging their venom into everything that moved. There was screaming, but it died away very quickly. The Reverend looked down at the possessed boy and saw now only a ripped and empty man-shaped swatch of skin. No bones, no organs, no blood. Just an abandoned skin suit coated with a clear ooze. The sanctuary was silent now, aside from the rattling and hissing and slithering of the snakes. It only took a few moments before the dead began to shake and twitch on the floor, unrestrained by bonds like the boy had been. They all flailed their limbs. They smashed their heads against the floor. They used their teeth to chew holes in their skin, allowing the snakes below to emerge from the cracks in their skulls and the rips in their flesh. Others vomited them up, spewing full-grown rattlers from every orifice until the church was swarming with thousands of snakes. And that's when the front doors swung open, and the serpents flooded the back lawn in a tsunami-like wave. Remember how that lawn gently sloped down to the water? Yeah, that was a big help to the snakes, who surged down across the lawn and set upon all in their path. Still inside the tent, Miss Thelma was one of the few who had a chance to fight back. She kicked over a table full of fryers and flash-cooked 100 snakes slithering towards her. She grabbed the cross around her neck and then stepped over to the next table of fryers. She had a chance, but not much of one. There were only a few other people who had enough time to even try and run away, but none of them escaped. The entire ground had become a bed of twisting serpents, two or three or four or five thick, in a matter of seconds. People died screaming, but fell silent quickly, only to explode into the next wave of blood-soaked snakes, until the whole world was hissing and rattling and scale scratching against scale. The snakes danced serpentine patterns on a field littered with the split and rent and empty bodies of 100 men, women, children, and pets. The Reverend Elmo Cubbins knelt nude in their midst, feeling their scales sliding along his bare, sticky skin. He was now covered with dozens of bites, each one frothing up a sickly yellow foam, the same foam that dripped from his mouth, his nose, the corners of his eyes. And yet, as in the good book, he did not die. He did not lower his head. He was protected, just as he had always believed. But now he knew that his protector was not the God in heaven above. Now he understood who was truly watching over him. His heart pumped pure venom and filled him with white light. He sang the praises of the snake god with a numb tongue in a language long dead. And from deep in the dark belly of the fetid swamp, something old and long buried rumbled in return. "I hear you, Lord," the preacher wept. "I hear you, and I will obey."
"It was a snake. A snake just like this snake I hold in my hands before you that came to Eve in that blessed garden. And that snake tricked her. It befuddled her. It bamboozled her. Now was she evil? Oh, no more so than you or me. That snake infected her with its words. And that's how they do, my brothers and sisters. That snake does not want to bite you and kill you. That snake wants to spew its venom into your brain, into your heart, your blood, your eternal soul, and turn you away from the light of Jesus Christ. Turn you away from the Lord in heaven. Turn you away from all of that. And towards the greater truth. The truth that lay at the heart of the swamp, long buried but never dead, never forgotten. Eve rejected the serpent and all its wonders. But we will not make that mistake. We will sing the praises of the snake god. Praise him! Praise him!"
Thank you for listening to another episode of A Scary Home Companion. Please send feedback to the show to ascaryhomecompanion@gmail.com. Or you can find the show on Facebook and Instagram under the same name. You can subscribe to the show through Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Podcasts, a half dozen other places. The music this episode was provided by Jesse Spillane, the song Snake Charms, Sleepy John Corbick with the song Grand Serpent, and two songs by Sacred Harp Singers, The Dying Christian and Lover of the Lord. This episode was edited and produced by Jeff 316 and guest stars the incomparable Carl Offenberg as the preacher, Elmo Cubbins. Thank you.